Look out, Lays. Tonight's Tar Heel Traveler features other North Carolina food stew. You can watch with us tonight at 7:30. WRAL News at 6 starts right now.
Updates on three serious disruptions for three local schools today. First, officials say a Wake County high school was put on lockdown after a student was found with a loaded gun on campus. Then,
threats online and a toy gun brought to school leave parents nervous. We'll tell you how schools are addressing it.
Our daughter, Jamie, was being treated like an animal.
And a local woman claims her daughter with special needs was abused by teacher's assistants in her classroom with a water bottle.
Get ready for wave after wave of wet weather. See the newest timing for when the rain starts, when it's the heaviest, and when we're finally in the clear.
We have a busy day for law enforcement at several schools in Wake County. In the last hour, we learned a code red lockdown at Roseville High School was caused by a student with a gun on campus. Thank you for joining us. I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm Gerald Owens. In another case, these threats were posted online on social media targeting teachers at Zebulon Middle School. Now, this prompted increased security and forced some parents to keep their students at home.
WRAL's Julian Grace is live in Wendell, where a student brought a toy gun to Cardinal Charter Academy. Julian, that is a school serving some underprivileged students.
Well, Deborah, let me start here. It's quiet out here right now, but that was not the case earlier today as parents and teachers, they were all concerned about student safety. And all of this was surrounding a toy gun.
This morning, a student inside Cardinal Charter School in Wendell typed this message to his mom. He titled it, "There's a gun in school." The paragraph says, "Hey, mom, this is not a joke. A kid brought a gun to school and the cops are here. They might shoot. I love you." A spokesperson for the school shares more on what happened inside this building. A student brought a toy gun to school. Students saw it, told the teachers, and the school addressed it. A school spokesperson did not share if the student faced discipline or the next course of action. Then at Zebulon Middle School, there were squad cars in the parking lot and deputies in the hallway.
We shouldn't have to have police presence at the school, you know, so it's just it's a scary thing. And then for the kids to see that.
These deputies were present at the middle school because someone posted these threats on Instagram. The sender says Zebulon Middle is next, followed by a post showing a collection of guns, then a post listing teachers the person is targeting. Because of all this, some parents pulled their children from school today.
I want to make sure they catch the person, and I don't want to have to be worried about my child all day at school. And with police presence and extra security, it's hard for children to even be there, not scared.
Right now, Wake County Schools shared that detectives are following up on leads to find out who is responsible for the threats.
One parent tells me she is unsure if she will send her child back to school tomorrow. She did say there are some conversations that need to be had first. Deborah?
Yeah, pretty unnerving day for parents all across our area. Julian Grace, live tonight in Wake County. Thank you, Julian. Well, we now know students at Roseville High School went home early today after a staff member found a student with a loaded gun. The school says the staff member saw the student outside of class, stopped them, and found the weapon. The school was put on code red lockdown and all after-school activities were canceled. No one was hurt. Roseville Police and the Wake County Public School System are investigating the incident.
Breaking news, WRAL just obtained search warrants that show the FBI raided the property of former Granville County Sheriff Brendel Wilkins. Wilkins is serving 18 months in prison right now for falsifying training records. WRAL Investigates' Cullen Browder has covered the former sheriff's troubles for years and joins us live with what agents found. Cullen?
Well, Gerald, they found various vehicles and equipment confiscated from Granville County crime scenes years ago at his farm. We just obtained the search warrant documenting what was recovered and why. So a jury found Wilkins guilty back in December for falsifying those training records and other counts. During that trial, prosecutors questioned Wilkins about taking evidence, including more than $200,000 in cash and various vehicles from a 2011 crime scene to his home. So based on that testimony, the FBI got this search warrant, went to his Oxford property late yesterday. They found a white Chevy van, John Deere motor, mower, military surplus truck, various trailers, all that match evidence taken from that crime scene. No mention of any money. Wilkins told the court back in December the evidence was taken to his farm for temporary storage. Attorneys tell me this could lead to embezzlement-related charges. In addition to those training records, Gerald, Wilkins still faces Granville charges related to accusations he tried to have a deputy killed years ago and questions over his oversight of the Drug Enforcement Unit.
Cullen Browder with that breaking news for us. Cullen, thank you.
As we take a live look at the radar right now, we are tracking another round of rain tomorrow, and it could impact your morning commute again. Meteorologist Mike Mays is in the WREL Severe Weather Center timing out when you could expect the heaviest of showers. Mike?
It looks like the heaviest rain will likely come for the afternoon and evening commute tomorrow, but the morning commute will see its share of rain as well. Fortunately, we're not having a whole lot of rain out there right now on the dual Doppler 5000 radar, Deb, but as we go through the night, we'll see rain off to the west build on in. So as of right now, if you need to do a dog walk for the evening, the weather looks A-OK. Futurecast just reinforces what I just said. 5 o'clock this evening, 6 o'clock, looking at just clouds, maybe a sprinkle. By 8 o'clock, there's more rain off to the west. Around midnight, there could be some sprinkles, but it's really after midnight that we start to see the rain fill in. Also, up to the north, there might be enough cold air aloft for some of this to fall as a sleet, maybe flake, raindrop mix. Southern Virginia, maybe up toward Roanoke Rapids, but it would be of no consequence because it's going to be so warm. But check out your morning commute, engulfed in rain, and there's more to come for your Thursday. I'll outline that coming up, Deb.
All right, another busy, rainy day. Thank you, Mike.
I want to take a live look at downtown Raleigh. Beautiful shot of the skyline there at night. Also, one of the many places where rent has soared so high, many people are struggling to get by, let alone to afford it. A new rent analysis from Zillow reveals a person making minimum wage would have to work 144 hours a week to afford a typical one-bedroom apartment. That's 6 full days around the clock. WRO's Matt Tallhelm tells us what it would take for renters to see some relief.
My first apartment was $700 a month for a one-bedroom.
Chelsea Bird's become a mom with a growing family since then. Now they're paying $1,400 a month for a two-bedroom in Raleigh.
Where we are now, it's pretty tight.
But are looking for a bigger space.
Everywhere else that we're looking right now is, you know, exponentially higher.
Bird says she's pulling in a decent paycheck, but worries about being priced out.
You know, these are things that should not be so hard for the average working person to attain.
For some, it's impossible. A new analysis from Zillow shows one person making minimum wage would have to work more than 3 full-time jobs or have that many roommates to pay the $1,260 a month rent for a typical one-bedroom apartment in Raleigh. Nicole Bichot is a senior economist with Zillow.
We see people spending a lot more than 30% of their income on rent just so they can make ends meet. But that's not healthy, and that doesn't really set people up for success in the long term.
A long-term solution to the affordability crisis starts with increasing the supply. Right now, a record number of apartments are being built across the triangle. More than 15,000 new units are under construction. Those will increase the inventory of apartments by 13.4%.
To put it in perspective, you know, if you've got 8 apartment buildings right now in an area, there's another one being built for each of those 8. So we've got a massive expansion of supply going on.
Dustin Engelken with the Triangle Apartment Association expects rents will continue to cool off from the peak last summer as those construction sites become apartments ready to lease.
So you got more vacant units, you've got more competition for renters, and people have to adjust their prices to bring in those new clients.
Matt Tallhelm, WREL News, Raleigh.
There were only 4 cities in Zillow's analysis where a person making minimum wage would have to work more hours than someone in Raleigh to afford a one-bedroom apartment. They are Nashville, Charlotte, Austin, Texas, and Atlanta.
State lawmakers are looking to dramatically increase the penalties for damaging power or broadband infrastructure in North Carolina. This comes after the December attack on electric substations in Moore County that left thousands of people without power for days. The bill filed today would make such an attack a Class C felony, which carries up to 10 years in prison and $250,000 fine. Senator Paul Newton says the goal of the bill is stronger deterrence.
Our message is very simple. If you are contemplating destroying electrical infrastructure or other critical infrastructure in North Carolina, don't do it. You are going to go to jail and you are going to pay an extraordinary amount of money.
In addition to the Moore County incident, attacks on substations have also been reported in Jones County and most recently in Randolph County. No one has been arrested or charged yet in any of those cases.
Tyree Nichols was laid to rest in Memphis today. His death continues to cause pain and inspire action here at home and around the country. The group Durham Beyond Policing rallied outside City Hall today, calling for more funding for unarmed first responders. Durham launched its HEART program about 7 months ago. It sends social workers to some nonviolent 911 calls rather than police. Right now, it only operates in part of the city at limited times. City Council members say even before today's news conference, they were strong supporters of expanding the HEART program. A second former athlete at NC State is suing for sexual abuse. The student, who is not identified in the suit, says former director of sports medicine Robert Murphy inappropriately touched him while treating his injuries. This is the second lawsuit filed against the school accusing Murphy of sexual abuse. Both lawsuits say the school's former soccer coach reported concerns about Murphy's behavior to the school, but nothing was done.
A new report is highlighting the reality of staffing issues inside North Carolina classrooms. It reveals public school systems saw a more than 58% increase in vacant teaching positions this fall. Vacancies can also refer to positions filled by a less qualified person. Vacancies topped 5,000 teachers, comprising more than 5% of all teachers across the state. The report, issued by the State Department of Public Instruction, was presented this afternoon to the State Board of Education. WRL's Aaron Thomas is taking a closer look at these numbers and what they mean for families coming up at 7. Coming up next and only on WRAL, allegations of abuse involving a student with special needs.
A Johnston County mom believes her daughter was abused in the classroom after she claims a teacher sprayed her with a water bottle.
Plus, after being fired mid-season, former head coach Matt Rhule is suing the Carolina Panthers for millions of dollars. What he's claiming coming up in just a few minutes in sports.
Back down WRL News. Hey, there's a live look at the Science Museum in downtown Raleigh on a chilly start to the month of February. You're watching WRL News, available for you on YouTube TV, Spectrum, and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
She calls it inhumane, an assault. A local mother believes her daughter, who has special needs, and others were abused in a small classroom in Johnston County.
She claims they were sprayed with water over the course of several months as behavior modification. Tonight, only on WRL, Chelsea Donovan shares her story and what the school system is saying in response.
I asked Kristen Skinner where her daughter Jamie was sprayed with the bottles in the classroom. She says it was multiple times on the back of her neck, which explains why she was coming home with wet clothing.
Our daughter, Jamie, was being treated like an animal.
Words from a complaint filed by this Johnston County mom, Kristen Skinner.
Come to find out, she's been keeping a secret and has said, I know, tell you. We noticed her hitting her head, crying.
Through seeing changes in her 15-year-old daughter Jamie's behavior and talking to other parents, Skinner believes her daughter and others in a special needs class at Corinth Holders High School were what she calls assaulted by use of a spray bottle.
I don't know how anybody does that to a child.
She said once Jamie told her this news, she filed a police report, wrote several letters to the school and the Department of Public Instruction this month.
I had reached out to her teachers, not knowing all three were suspended.
Come to find out, she says the teachers assistants were forced to resign or were terminated on December 8th, but she only received this letter from them just this past Sunday. Those teachers' assistants write, the evening of December 8th, every member of the life skills staff was asked not to return. In the letter, they admit to using the spray bottle, stating a student would hit his head so hard and so long that he would cause himself to bleed, and that another student was lying in inappropriate locations that could be dangerous. Barbara Fetters, UNC law professor and director of the Youth Justice Council, believes this behavior modification is an act of aggression and can be humiliating for the student.
It's a vulnerable population that is uniquely unable to defend itself.
She feels improper training for the teacher's assistants could be at play.
I also feel like people are put in these very tough circumstances and asked to manage things that they're not necessarily trained to do, like I said, or paid very well.
For Skinner, she says this is about being an advocate and giving a voice to the voiceless.
I'd like justice done to make sure that this doesn't happen to anyone else.
And Kristen Skinner says she now has learned that her daughter has a new teacher's assistant here at the school and has also learned there's a behavioral psychologist on staff. Chelsea Donovan, WRAL News, Johnston County.
Now, the Johnston County School System sent us this response. Although we cannot discuss the specifics of an investigation into alleged staff misconduct, we can confirm that whenever such allegations arise, our administration responds swiftly by investigating the allegations and sometimes by removing staff from classrooms pending the completion of a thorough review. The Fayetteville Police Department is under new leadership tonight. Kim Braden took over the department today, replacing former Chief Gina Hawkins, who retired. Braden has been with the department for 26 years. A swearing-in for Braden is set for Friday.
Earlier this week, we told you Sir Walter Raleigh has retired and won't be part of the Groundhog Day celebrations in Raleigh. We wanted to know, what sends a groundhog into retirement? The Museum of Natural Sciences tells us the wildlife sanctuary where Raleigh lives has closed, so Raleigh won't be the center of attention tomorrow. But the museum still plans to celebrate with fun activities. We're going to have to wait to find out who will become Raleigh's next beloved prognosticator. In the meantime, we have Phil, we have Gerd, and we have meteorologist Mike Mays in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with all the bells and whistles behind you, Mike.
Just stick me outside at lunchtime, and I won't see my shadow tomorrow afternoon because we'll have plenty of clouds, so that would mean an early start to spring. And I've seen a ton of robins out there. I don't know if you've noticed some in your neighborhood as well, and that's a sign that spring's on its way. So, yeah, we have all these telltale signs that temperatures are going to be warming, and we've got that in the forecast next week. So we've seen a lot of clouds today. We had a front move by last night. We had a switch in wind direction, so that's why it's colder today. There's a little bit of rain off to the west, and even more where that came from, back over Texas, where it's cold enough where it's an ice storm, winter storm warnings. There's not going to be any of that here. It's likely to be rain, although tomorrow morning, and Elizabeth will have her eye on that, across our northern counties in southern Virginia, there could be some sleet pellets mixed in with the rain. So if you're watching from up there, don't be surprised if you're driving to work and you see little ice pellets ping off the hood of your car or windshield. You see it on Futurecast at 5 a.m., maybe even a snowflake up there. And it could be around the Roanoke Rapids and Northampton County, Northampton County area as well. We go through the morning commute. We see that light rain continuing through the area. By lunchtime, we still see some spotty areas of rain, but I think the rain more in bulk will come 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the afternoon and evening. There's even more rain off to the west that will move on by. And notice the yellows and oranges showing up. There's more in the way of, moderate rainfall moving through the period at that time. And then finally, once we get past midnight, that rain moves to the south and east. And we wake up Friday morning with just a little bit of rain in our southern counties. And then we'll see clearing skies during the afternoon. So sunshine is on the way. Over at North Hills right now, we're looking at an overcast. Things are looking pretty gloomy out there, but there's no rain. We're looking okay. Maybe some drizzle or spotty sprinkles this evening. 36 at Roxborough right now, 37 at South Hill, 44 in Clinton, 44 in Fayetteville. And if you're going for a dog walk this evening, or maybe, as this video shows you, the dog is walking the humid, just maybe a few sprinkles and temperatures hovering around 40 here in the Triangle. So watch out for some sleet mixed with some rain late tonight and tomorrow morning in our northern counties. Otherwise, rain likely toward daybreak, 37 in Raleigh, 39 in Fayetteville. And then tomorrow, periods of rain. It is going to be a cold day, mainly in the 40s, 43 in Raleigh, 44 Fayetteville, 42 in South Hill. Your 7-day forecast, it's a quick blast of Arctic air. Once that front moves by Friday morning, getting rid of the rain, the cold air starts to pour in. 19 the low Saturday morning, 40 the high. Still cold Sunday morning, but we warm up to about 52, and then it's back to that springtime feel. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week, we're back in the 60s.
Yeah, the lows will be what we're highs are now, so that's quite a change. Thank you, Mike.
Chris Lee's here with sports. Everybody talking about Tom Brady.
Yeah, today feels like Groundhog's Day. We're a day early, but he's retired again. Yikes. Next in sports, we'll explore how that could benefit the Carolina Panthers, which that could be a really good benefit next year, and why Matt Rhule is now suing the franchise. That's after the break.
I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring. For good. I know the process was a pretty big deal last time, so when I woke up this morning, I figured I'd just press record and let you guys know first. So like, you only get one super emotional retirement essay, and I used mine up last year.
Yeah, you sure did. So Tom Brady is retiring again on February 1st, like he did last year. This time he says it's for good. If it is, it could greatly benefit the Carolina Panthers and their new head coach, Frank Reich. Reich is taking over a team that just needed to beat Brady's Buccaneers to get in the playoffs, and they just missed out. So now this opens up the NFC South in the 2023 season. Reich has hired the first member of his coaching staff. According to reports, Deuce Staley is leaving the Detroit Lions, where he was their running backs coach. He and Reich worked together in Philadelphia. The South Carolina native's role with the team right now is unclear. Former Panthers coach Matt Rhule is suing the team over an unpaid severance check. It's reported that the amount is worth $5 million. Now, the Panthers haven't publicly commented on this. However, it's expected that the Panthers will argue that with Rhule's deal with Nebraska keeps them off the hook for their final payment. The case is expected to be settled in arbitration in the coming weeks. You can watch Super Bowl 57 on Fox 50, the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. These two teams have won the Super Bowl in recent years, so this is definitely going to be exciting. Catch it February 12th at 6:30 on Fox 50. Today is National Girls and Women in Sports Day, and Ravenscroft celebrated by bringing in women who are blazing the trail for future generations. Duke Athletics Director Nina King was on hand to speak to the girls at the school. King is one of six female ADs in Power Five in the country. Her message, whether you want to work in sports or not, just go for it.
Just knowing that whether you're an athlete or not, you know, you can take hold of opportunities and aspirations and really go for something if you're passionate about it.
Just be able to hear her speak and listen to kind of her career path and how she's kind of overcome all the challenges that she's experienced. And just to be where she is today after everything is so, like, inspiring to hear.
Love it. After their thrilling overtime win over the Kings last night, the Carolina Hurricanes have to reel it back in and take on the Sabres on the road. Puck drops at 7:30 tonight in Buffalo. And if they happen to be down by more than two goals in the third, that means they're just going to come back and win in overtime. That's what it means for the Canes.
All right. Thanks, Chris. And thank you for joining us. We're minutes away from NBC Nightly News. Critical evidence in the Alex Murdaugh case. The video played in court that prosecutors say puts him at the scene of the crime.
And tonight at 7, the Federal Reserve raised interest rates for the first time this year. Hear from a local economist on what this means for you and your family at 7.